together, I want us to think about this. This is our last Sunday in 2015. I was talking about that with the youth this morning. Lee and Sherry are gone down at their folks for Christmas, and so I got the privilege of getting to teach our youth, our young people. I always enjoy that. My heart is with that group because I know the difficulty that they have to go through. And I was talking about last Sunday in 2015. I want you to think about that. How was your 2015 if you do a little panoramic back over it? I told Sandy, I said, I can't remember us celebrating New Year's last year. That shows your age, right? When you can't even remember, I'm thinking, what happened in 2015? It goes so quickly. And even Caleb said, man, it flew by. I said, Caleb, you're in trouble, buddy, if it's flying by right now and you're in the youth. It goes quicker as we go. But what happened, just a thought of, you know, we've lost some loved ones in 2015 here, and there's no guarantee and no promise that one of us might be gone in 2016. Do we realize that, how precious life is and how live every day to the fullest, live every day for Christ Jesus? And because we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and so 2015 is ending up the way that it should. We're celebrating Christmas. We still have our decorations up. The Christ child has come. And if you're not careful, you'll kind of get all in that bummer on the other side of Christmas, right? It's like, okay, the celebration, we give the gifts, the family will be going back home. And if we're not careful, we get on the backside, and it's like, oh, no, when do I go back to work? You start counting the days when the vacation's over. And that's not what Christmas is about, okay? I told them Christmas is not a one-time deal, but it's a state of mind. Christ has come. We celebrate in a great way, but you know what? He's here, and he's here to stay for eternity. I wanted to be encouraged with that. Well, I was thinking about 2016, and we're going through the standard of the master. We're teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher, and I've been humbled to get to preach some of this because I couldn't even come close to what our master taught, but I thought, you know, maybe doing an end-of-the-year challenge, and I thought, God in his providence, what a great verses that he knew. Aren't you glad God knows exactly what we need right here our last Sunday, 2015, and as we face 2016? And so I thought the title of this lesson, Worry-Free in 2016. Woo! Worry-Free in 2016. You say, come on now, Dave. That sounds good. But can it be a reality? I hope today that we can see through God's Word how each and every one of us can be worry-free in 2016. I want us to think about this morning. If we look at the most useless thing in our life, it would have to be worry. It would have to be worry. Let's look at God's Word. Let's stand and honor God's Word. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 25 through 34, Matthew chapter 6, and will you stand to honor God's Word, to reading of God's Word? And it says this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither toil, or neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Father, for just a few minutes, I pray you be glorified. I be by the cross. Touch everybody's life right where they are. In God's name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Worry-free in 2016. Do you know that the studies have shown that 85% of our doctor's visits is related to anxiety. 85% of doctor's visits are related to anxiety. I probably many of us are dealing with some form of worry or anxiety this morning. Each and every one of it touches each life at some point or the other. And many people are taking nerve pills. That's what the old people used to call nerve pills. Going to counseling. Millions of people in America go to counseling. None of these things are wrong, by the way. These are great things. These are gifts that God gives. I'm not one of those guys that can believe if we need some pharmaceuticals to help where we're at, that God gives those gifts. If we need counseling, yes, God gives those gifts. But I want us to turn to the great counselor this morning about worry and about our anxieties and where we are. Remember last week we read about two investments where God was saying, where are your investments going? He was talking about our needs, about not laying up treasures in heaven, or not laying up treasures on earth, but laying up treasures in heaven, our two investments. And he talked about two perspectives, about our eye being bad and full of evil. And he was really talking about our heart. If our heart's bad, our body's bad. Two perspectives. And then lastly, two masters. He said, you're serving one thing or the other. You're serving God or material possessions or money. He said, which is it? And then we get to this. He's talking about laying up. And we get to this idea about food and clothes and drinking. And so it's almost like the other end of the perspective. It's not talking about stacking up things and storing them. But it's talking about daily life, just living. A lot of us can relate to that, just life and how worries can come just in general through life. And so our Lord is touching on that this week, and I want us to look at the Lord's teaching on really the foolishness of worrying. And first, I want you to look at our first point. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Look at verse 25, 27. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his name? He's talking about life in general and how the worries come. Food, clothing, drink. Most of us are in a situation that we're not worried. Just let's be honest. We're not worried about our next meal. In fact, I've got plenty to live off of. I've got to get rid of about 20 pounds of celebration, okay? That's coming, right? You'll get those big workout videos. They'll start hammering us right from here on out. These new words. I walked it off. Yeah, that had some tread climb. This thing's going up and down. I'm thinking, yeah, walk on that for a while. You're going to lose something for sure. But most of us don't understand that. Do you understand that a big percentage, millions and billions of people are worrying about where their next meal is going to come from around the world? We take that for granted. We might be concerned about where we're going to eat our next meal. We'll be choosing which restaurant or whatever. But we don't understand what it is to be concerned about where food is going to come from. How about water? We just take it for granted. You know what? I went in there and turned on my shower this morning and got in there, got the hot water just right, and got in there and cleaned up. Praise God that we cleaned up, right? I hope we did. Took a shower. I'm so glad that I could go to my refrigerator and I could hit that one button and I could get cold water, filtered mountain water. I'm saying, man, Aquafina don't have nothing on this. I tell everybody that comes up, and I say, come here and get some of this water. It's some of the best water you've ever drank. Aren't you glad that we don't worry about water, food, or clothing? What we're going to wear? Right now, we generally have all our winter clothes on. I'm in this dilemma. Am I supposed to wear spring clothes or summer clothes? Or is it winter clothes? Right? You ladies can relate to that, right? We're in that. So we don't worry about these necessities, but you know, we still worry about them in different ways, don't we? We still have all these concerns, and it's a part of normal life. I want us to think about, take for instance our clothing, for example. Okay, we just come off of Christmas and our shopping and all those things. But how many of you ladies have walked in, maybe in a walk-in closet, or open up your closet and stood there and say, I don't have nothing to wear? Let's be honest. Look, thank you, Winnie. One honest. How many of us do? All right, men, how about us, men? Let's don't just hammer ladies. We walk in there, we open the refrigerator, or we open the cabinets. There's nothing to eat in this house. Oh, you've done that too, Winnie. We're all guilty of that. Are those statements of saying those things? And it's really, if you think about the trinity of the world's cares, food, drink, and clothing. And Jesus Jesus said, life is more than what we eat, and the body is more than what we put on. Let me prove that to you. You let a loved one of yours get sick, facing death, and we've been there, whether it's in the home or the hospital, and you spend that time, and we talked about when the seconds become hours, and you're there, and you're not worried about what you got on, are you? You're not worried about what you're eating. Life becomes real in those situations. We stop worrying about these trivial things that God's saying, hey, put that behind. In fact, if we could go back to some of the loved ones that we lost, we could say, you know what? I'd eat bread and water for the rest of my life if I could have them back for just a little while. It becomes real, don't it? Verse 25 says, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is more than these things. Why is life more than these things? I want us to look first in the sub-point, because God is our Father. Look at verse 26 and what it says. I mean, God could have given us any kind of example. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Take us some birds, pictures of birds. Look, there's a cardinal. Look, there's a blue jay. Most of you say, he's mean. He's a bird. Go ahead. Oh, and there's our golden finch. We love those in the summer up here. I've noticed, let me just be honest, the older I get, the more I like birds. What's up with that? What's up with that, huh? I notice that you older people like birds. I'm getting there. You know what? I get a big bag of cheap seed. You got to go cheap, right? You can get it at high dollar stuff. You get that big bag of cheap seed, and you fill up all those bird feeders on your porch, and you watch them come by, and you see the different ones. What's up? We get so fascinated with birds. I think it's biblical right here. Jesus tells us right here to look at the birds of the air as our example about worry. And I want you to think about, have you ever saw one worry? Have you ever seen a bird in its nest wringing its wings saying, where's my worm going to come from? I mean, serious. That's what he's asking. Have we ever seen this? Listen, have you ever seen a bird driving a tractor or a combine? Never have we? Have you ever seen them stirring up in warehouses worms for the winter? No, we have not. That's people that does that. And yet he says, yeah, but because birds don't harvest, they don't plant or store up food, but it doesn't mean they go hungry, does it? Why? Because God feeds them. God takes care of them. They don't sit out on a limb worrying about where their meal's going to come from. What do? They just go and get it. They work for it. They go and they find, and he provides. Birds are some of the hardest working critters you'll ever see, man. They're burning up the energy. They're looking. I love to hunt. I'm sitting there. Ken, you can relate to this. You're sitting there, and them little birds will come through. And I mean, and sometimes they'll run together, different ones, and they're looking, and they're going on limbs. They're looking every leaf, and they're trying to find something to eat. It's an amazing thing, because they're not sitting there waiting in the nest, waiting on it to come to them. They go out and get it. Why? Because they know God provides it. It's their instinctive nature to understand that God provides for them. It's an amazing thing. God says, look at them. But I want you to miss, there's a hidden truth in this, and I saw this when I was reading this. Please don't miss this in this scripture where it says, I want you to look what it says. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And here's that right hidden in plain sight, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father. He did not say their heavenly Father, did he? He did not say their heavenly Father. Why? Because God is creator to them. He is Father to us. We have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ because of what he did on the cross. He becomes our heavenly Father. What about the personal relationship there? Just think about that for a minute. He didn't say their heavenly Father. He said your heavenly. Jesus didn't come to die for birds or animals. He came to die for you and me, human beings. Yet he cares for them, each and every word. In fact, he says over in Matthew 10, there's not a sparrow. He said, you could buy two sparrows for a penny. He said, but not one of them hits the ground that your Father in heaven don't know about it. Your Father in heaven. He's their creator. He takes care of them. He sustains that. Yet, they don't have that relationship that we have through Christ. He's our Father. Father and He takes care of us. You're more valuable than they are, is what He says. Well, that's the first. Look, I want you to look, because what? Because it can't make anything better. Look at verse 27. Which of you by worrying, He's our Heavenly Father, and worrying can't make anything better. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? That's a great question. You know what it's saying? It's saying you can't add one second to your life. Do you realize that we're all about, we just talked about exercising, being fit, eating healthy, eating the right thing, taking vitamins, taking supplements, all these things to extend our life. Nothing wrong with that. But do you understand that not one second will be added, because God is in control of that. He's in control of everything. Now, can you reduce your life by being and not eating right, all that? Yes, we know that. But God is in control every second. He said, you know what? You can do all these things, but you can't add one second. The most healthiest young lady I've ever known in my life died at 23 years old from cancer. Ate rabbit food. That's all. And she took care of herself. She ran. She died at 23 years old. But I thought, you know, here's what I thought. I thought, Lord, how can that happen? I said, man, she was so godly. God just said, I'm going to take her home with me. I'm just going to take her home with me. Great, great young lady. But, you know, we can't add any time. We can take care of ourselves, and we should be good stewards of what God's given us. But He's saying right here by worrying, you can't add one cubic. You can't add one second to your life. Christ is in control. Who by worrying can add a single hour to their life? Really, on the contrary, it affects circulation, it affects heart, it affects glands, it affects nervous system. Worrying affects all these things. And I've never seen anyone die of overwork. But I've seen a lot of people that have died because of complications of anxiety and worry. Jesus said, don't do those things. Don't do those things. Well, our next thing, I want you to see that, yes, we understand that don't make mountains out of molehills. We can make the most trivial things areas of worry in our life, can't we? But next, flowers dress better than kings. Stick with me now. Listen to what it says. Verses 28 through 30. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do we understand by that worrying doubts God's character? Jesus used the illustration of the birds to show us that worry was unnecessary. Now He uses lilies to illustrate that we're faithless when we worry. We don't have faith and belief in Him. And lilies, that word lilies here is usually, really, it's referring to the wildflowers. Wildflowers, not like the Easter lilies that we think about. Chris, run those pictures of flowers. Look here. Ain't that beautiful? Wildflowers. Is look at the birds, but consider, think about flowers. We all know what wildflowers around here, man. In the summertime, when I'm running, I'm coming off my hibernation. It's time to start running and get exercising again. Up Big Hill, down Railroad Grade, I see some of the most beautiful wildflowers. Purples, reds, it's like, man, look at that. It's unbelievable. Have you ever stopped to consider God clothed them? How beautiful. When we went to Alaska this year on mission, they had fireweed is what they called it. It was a flower. They actually made jelly out of it and all that. I got a little jar of jelly from them that they made. It was just a wild flower. And Jesus said, consider these things. I want us to think about this. What is He saying? God designs each and every flower. He designs those. Man, He's involved. It's not, I want you to know, this is not an idea of something evolving into a masterpiece, but it is really the piece of the master's hand, each one of them. He makes them, and He says, consider them, look at them. I've had the privilege as a redneck of traveling and seeing some huge cities. You've been there, flying into New York, it'll take your breath away. It's like, wow. 14 million people live there. 9.1 million people in North Carolina. Let that cook your noodle a minute. More people in one city. huge buildings. You can walk and just gasp at it. But I'm going to tell you something. You can come up 421 or 321, and you can see that mountain off in the distance. And let me tell you, there's nothing that man has made that compares to what God's hand has brought into existence. Nothing compares. And he's using something as simple as flowers to prove to us. Now, we still have poinsettias, and you see these. I see the leaves are falling off. But we have a poinsettia in a house that's on its last leg, okay? Everything dies that comes into Cooper. No, not everything. Vines make it. This kid, yeah. Gotta be careful. Everything dies. Oh, that's true. I better be careful while I say that. I'm in there. Listen, but we have a poinsettia. It's on its last leg. Why? Because it's not going to live forever. It's Christmas. It's seasonal. And you can water it and take care of it the best you can, but it's really on a time frame, right? And that's what he's saying. He said it's just transitional. But you know what? We're eternal. Do you understand? You'll live forever somewhere. Forever and ever and ever. He said this. You look at a flower and it's just here. And we know that our summer flowers are just, and our wildflowers are just here for just a short season. They're here today and gone tomorrow. In fact, he said they used to dry them and they had ovens in Israel. And they had two stories on it, really, or two levels. And underneath, they would take those wildflowers, the grass, they'd pull it up, let it get good and dry, and then they would put it underneath the bottom of them, and then they would catch it on fire, and it would heat this whole ceramic oven up, and the top part is how they cook their bread. And he's using that analogy. He knew exactly what he's talking about. Here today and gone tomorrow, thrown in the oven. He said, these are things that are just burnt up, and you forget about them. But he said, look at the beauty of it. He said, why do you get caught up in clothes? Another illustration. Sandy. We just got, Sandy had surgery just 2 weeks ago. We were down in Baptist Hospital. She had a major DVT in one of her legs. And you all know the story. To begin with, you prayed for us. And thank you so much. But when we first went down, they rushed us over to Baptist, over to the ER room. My wife dresses nicely. She's always dressed nicely. She looks good. And ladies, thank you. I appreciate when you look good. But you know what they did? They handed her. What did they hand her in that ER room? What? That little junky, whatever that thing you put on is, right? It ain't going to stay closed in the back. In fact, they want you to take all your underwear off even, right? But you know what? I don't see none of you wearing one today. Do we? Look around. And yet, she didn't have any problem putting that on. Why? Because it wasn't important at the time what she had on. Okay? And even I said, honey, you gotta watch out. Those flaps are in the back. If you get up, you're going to show something. She said, I don't care. Now, I'm just saying, she's a modest person, but at the time when you're going through that suffering and you're going through, you're facing maybe a life-altering thing, you don't care what you have on. You don't care what you're wearing. Everything comes. Why is it? It seems like when we get our focus right, everything comes in to perspective. Why is it that God has to bring us down to those points to remind us of something as simple as a flower when we're worrying about clothes, when we're worrying about eating? Well, lastly, I want us to think about these things. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Flowers dress better than kings. And then lastly, worrying mimics the world. Listen what it says in verse 31 to 34. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, there it is again, knows what you need, all of these. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. You know what Jesus is letting us know? That when we worry, we're just like the rest of the world. The rest of the world is so caught up in worry. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's in store for 2016? All these things. And he says, this mimics the world. We're not to be like the world. Why? Because we're children of God. He's our Heavenly Father. And we're to rest in him. He's letting us know that when we do that, that you know what we're saying? He's not big enough. Let's be honest. He's not big enough to take care of our problems and our worries. Is God big enough? You better believe he is. Unbelievers look at birds, and they look at flowers, and they have no clue about them except for natural beauty. I feel sorry for them. I can see a creator in everything, and yet, what do they do? I think Phil Yancey, he wrote about an atheist, and he sums it up. It's a terrible thing to be grateful and have no one to thank, or to be awed and have no one to worship. Is that not a terrible thing in a world that says there is no God, they have no one to be thankful for, they have no one to be in awe about worship? God is our Father. He has everything under control. He's letting us know he's in control of all things because he says, listen, let's bring our perspective back. He's trying to bring us back our focus. We'll look at all these things, bring it into focus. Verse 33, here's the key. Here's the key and the answer to our anxieties. If you want to live worry-free in 2016, listen to this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The heart of the matter and the answer to our anxieties is verse 33. It's the central key verse of this whole section. Seek ye first. How in the world do we seek ye first? How do you seek the kingdom of God first? Well, to begin with, you've got to make sure you're a child of the King. You've got to make sure you have this personal relationship that God is your heavenly Father. Without the relationship through Jesus Christ, we have no clue. There's only one way that we could seek you first is when he's first in our life, and that is through a relationship. Have you ever had that point where you said, Lord Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior? That's why he came. That's why we celebrate the Nativity. He came to be our Savior for you, not for everybody else. It's easy to throw everybody in a big pot at this time and feel good about yourself, but what about your sin? What about your situation? Have you ever come to the point where you said, I'm a sinner, and he's my Savior. I'm in need for a Savior. And you pray and ask forgiveness, and he comes to dwell in your life. That's the first way that you seek the first kingdom first. But without that relationship, you're doing it for nothing. And then when we become this child, it's not about us. You realize that your life can be consumed with you. It's time for us to look at ourselves and see who's number one. I asked the kids this morning, who's sitting on the throne of your life? Who's sitting on the throne of your life? Because if it's not Jesus, it's you. Who's making the decisions? Who is it that you want to glorify and honor? Is it you or is it Christ? Because when we become in this relationship with him, all our life, our obedience and what we do, it's all about him, bringing glory to him. In fact, the word says, whatever we do, in whatever we do, we bring glory unto God through it. So he's saying, seek you first the kingdom of God and all these things. And here's the deal. He gives us a commission. Our great commission says, go ye therefore unto all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, making disciples of them. Are we involved in making disciples of the nations? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, the worries that of the world, he says, it'll be given to you. Are we making disciples? Are we studying his word? He gave us his word. Forever, the Lord, that word is settled in heaven, he said. Are we spending time with him in that relationship through studying his word, meditating on his word, allowing to become people of the word, speaking to him and him allowing him to speak through us through his word? He said, if you seek you first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to you. That's the results of this relationship that we have. What? You know, he's not saying all these things. Yeah, he's not promising good health, wealth, or no troubles. Okay? That ain't what he's promising. You know what he's promising? I got this. I got this. I'm in control. Rest on me. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for us. He's saying, you know what? If you're looking for a trouble-free world, if you're looking for a trouble-free everything, I don't see that here in Scripture. In fact, I see him telling a group of boys that he loved the most, go get in a boat and set out for the other side, knowing full well the storm was coming. Knowing full well the storm was coming, and yet, you know what? He got in a boat with them, didn't he? Why? Because he didn't come to die in no storm. He didn't come to die and drown in no ocean or no sea. He came to give his life on a cross that storms in your life will come, but he promises to be with you in the storms. The personal relationship of knowing Christ gets us through. And he says, you know what? He sums it up in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Boy, that's a big mouthful. You know what he's saying? Worry overloads our circuits, okay? How is it? We don't worry about the past, do we? Now, there might be some things that we regret. We'd like to go back and change, but we don't worry about the past. We don't worry about the present. Why? Because we're involved in it right now. What do we worry about? The future. And you know what we do, and most of us, when I'm counseling people, you know what we do? Make it hypotheticals. What ifs? The what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? Do you understand that 95% of the things that you worry about never happen? And yet 85% of the things people go to the doctor is because of anxiety and worry. Figure that out, would you? And 95% of the stuff we worry about never happens. The what ifs, the hypotheticals. You cannot live in the hypotheticals. The what ifs. You have to constantly be giving it over to the Lord. Oh, we might not worry about food and drink and or clothes per se, but Lord, we do worry about stock market going up and down. Oh, I'm killing me today. Terrorism. Anybody can come in at any time. Job security. What if I lose my job? The weather. Dear Lord, it's summertime in the winter. Health, particularly when we get older, our kids, our elderly parents. That's what we worry about, and we do the what-ifs, don't we? We throw the what-ifs in there. I saw a study about what does children worry about? Will God still love me when I'm bad? Will mom and dad get a divorce after the argument last night? How can I be safe from the bully at school? Do other kids think I look ugly? Am I smart enough to meet my parents' expectations? Then it said, study about youth. What do youth worry about? School and grades, appearance, dating, getting a job, making money, relationships. We all worry about something. But God says, don't worry. None of these help. Let's purpose in our hearts and 2016 and make it worry-free by what? By placing it all in the hands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one that's in control. If there are any new troubles tomorrow, there will be fresh grace to handle them, okay? Let's stand on our feet if we would. Will you come and play? Now be honest. Let's just be honest. Last Sunday in 2015, last Sunday, are you worrying about something? Has something got you stressed out? Why don't you just lay it down at the Master's feet this morning? Just let it go. Let me ask you this. How important is God's kingdom and His righteousness in your life? How important is that? How important is God's kingdom and His righteousness in your life? What is first and foremost in your life? How much do you worry about tomorrow? Are you one of those people? Are you dealing with the hot hypotheticals? Do you live in the hypotheticals? What if? What if? What if? Let me ask you lastly, what does God want from you in 2016? 2016, a brand new year. What does He want for you? As we start playing, Brittany's going to come and sing. What about you? Do you have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Because if you don't have that, you know it this morning. And I'm not gonna linger on that. The Holy Spirit's revealed to you, you need Christ. You come as soon as you start singing. Come and give it to Christ. Are you worrying about something that you need to lay down? You might be something that you've worried about for years and years. And God showed you, you know what? Why are you worrying? Turn it over to me. Might be your face in 2016, and you know what? I don't like the way I cope with things in 2015. Lord, let me have a brand new start in 2016. Let me just give it over to you and say, forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for being concerned about these things. Lord, I'm giving it unto you. Soon as she starts singing, come forward. Give it to the Lord.
Without Him, I could
Do you know you have Christ? That's the most important thing. Don't leave without Jesus today. No guarantee that you'll see 2016. How about, are you worrying about something? You need to lay it down. Something you need to turn over to Him right now? Is there something you just need to say, you know what, Lord? I've held on to this too long. I've been worrying about this. I'm just giving it to you. Has God shown you that you need a relationship with Him through Christ? You just pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I'm a sinner. You're my Savior. I'm asking you to come into my heart today. The Bible says, by the authority of God's Word, He said He'll come and be your whatever it is, God saved. We're going to have one more verse. And that's it. You need to lay it down. Do it. Don't hesitate. So sing it.
With Jesus, thank God, I'm saved.
Sing it.
Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh Jesus,
thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Wilma. Maybe walking the aisle was something very foreign to you or you felt uncomfortable with. If you need to see me about anything, I'm here for you and I love you. Be careful, you guys that come visiting with us. Be careful traveling home. We appreciate any way that we can help you. I know we're a long way off, but just call or take a card with you anyway because we love you. You're part of our extended family, and so be safe as you go home. And then, guys, what is it that God wants from you in 2016? I want you to be thinking about that. Facing a brand new year. What is it that He wants from us? Jim closes in prayer and we'll be dismissed.